This episode is a little bit of a blast from the past. It was recorded with my great aunt Melba on January 16, 1980 in Cone, Texas. I remember when I found it in the Southwest Collection on Tech Campus, I was so shocked and happy to see her name on one of their oral history recordings. Melba moved with her family to Cone in 1920. She talks about the house they moved to quite a bit in the interview, and that's actually the house that my siblings and I all grew up in, so it means a lot to me personally to hear her talking about the house and the home place. Melba graduated from Cone High School in 1929, and she was a painter and an avid quilter. After they moved out to the Plains, she lived in Crosby County the rest of her life. So with that, I hope y'all enjoy listening to it as much as I do.
My name is Richard Mason, and I'm near the community of Cone in Crosby County. It's January 16th, 1980, and I'm interviewing Melba Ware, who's a longtime resident of the Cone community. Melba, I was wondering if we could start out at your beginning, if you could tell me when and where you were born.
Well, I was born in Correll County, about 4 miles east of Gatesville, and that was located on the Gatesville and Waco Highway. Mm-hmm. And my parents built them a home there in 1913 and said I was born out in the shed while they was building their home. And my daddy always wanted to go west. So him and his friend came to this country in 1918 just to sightsee. And that was in January when they had this terrible blizzard in West Texas. The cattle had went drifted up against the fence and they just froze to death. So they went on back home and mother never did see any peace because he wanted her to come to West Texas to see this country. And so in August of 1919, they caught the train and came to Lubbock and came on all the, they called it the Blue Weed Special from Lubbock to Rawls. And my daddy had an aunt lived in Rawls, so he wanted to see the country. And here came the real estate men in just flocking to show him everything. Well, they was out here 3 days and he bought this place where I still live in 1919. So they went back home and they started packing and setting their farm down there. So he came on the train, he and his brother, with their livestock and chickens and everything, and mother, oldest son, and myself, and another brother, and the baby brother came later on the train after they got everything located. Well, we got to Rawls and some people met us in an old open top Ford. I thought we would freeze to death. Us kids were trying to pull an old quilt over the head to keep warm. We'd peep out, and all we could see was snow. Now, it was hard to stop.
Oh, no, that's, no. Go ahead.
What am I going to say next?
Well, you can tell me about playing around in the snow.
And so us kids never was used to snow, and we just played in the snow. We didn't have any overshoes on like they have nowadays, and we'd get wet, and we'd have snowball fights, and we'd roll in the snow. And we never did get sick and never did have a bad cold. And the ground, the snow stayed on the ground for 2 weeks before it was high drifted. So we just thought, mother thought this was the grandest place in the sun. That next spring, well, she planted a garden, and she grew everything. She got up every morning, she had half of her clothes in her hand, walking to her garden before she'd start breakfast for us. And then she had a garden in the field, she planted cashews, and had corn and watermelons, and everything that grew, she planted it. And she put a 50 gallons barrel of pickles that first year in lime water. And so we went to school, what they call a little place, the Fairview. And we walked, and it was 3 miles, and it wasn't too long. They divided the district, and we transferred to Cone in 1923 when they built that new brick house. And we still walked 3 miles to school. Well, us three oldest ones finished school at Cone, but the two younger ones, they went to Rawl. Oh, I'll take it back. My brother was such a good ball player, he went to school at Lubbock, and my youngest sister finished school in Rawls. And so it's been a lot of changes in West Texas. Well, let me back up.
Let's talk about who your parents were.
My parents was Emma Hammock, and she was born in Bell County, down near Clean. Mm-hmm. My daddy was born in Corral County on a little place what they call Owl Creek.
What kind of people were they? If you could tell me a little bit about them.
Well, my daddy was, Grandpa Hammock was Irish, I think. And my grandmother, my great-grandmother never saw a cook stove. She always cooked on a fireplace. Mm. And she was Dutch, and she was real short, and I don't think she spoke very much English. They made all the clothes, and they spun the wool and the cotton and made all the clothes at home.
Mm-hmm. They didn't even buy material. They just
material. Everything was white, and the younger children would come on. They'd have to turn this old spinning wheel after supper. And the younger girls learned to knit. They had to knit little stockings and socks for the dolls. Well, as they got older, they had to knit for the older brothers and sisters.
Now, some of your ancestors came to Texas from Georgia, is that correct?
My granddaddy Hammock came from Georgia. And my grandpa Ware, what did I tell you? Came from Georgia too, from the northern part of Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Do you know about when they came to Texas?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, listen, you just wait a minute. I can.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. Well, my granddaddy Hammock was born in Georgia, September the 18th, 1847. And he married Margaret Boehm. And she was born November the 13th, 1853. In Robertson County. Well, they married June the 26th, 1866, in Texas. And they had 11 children, and Emma Hammock was my mother, and she was number 9 in that family. So my grandmother Hammock died July the 11th, 1911. And my mother married B.W. Ware December the 25th, 1904, at the bride's home, and her age was 22. And my father, B.W. Ware, was born October the 15th, 1882, near Owl Creek in Corral County, and he died February the 21st, 1952. And my mother passed away July the 17th, 1978. Mm-hmm. Now what?
And your mother lived to be almost 96?
Mm-hmm. She lived from July the 17th to the 3rd of December, she would be 96. And she was very active, and she started painting in 1900. And she married in 1904, and she didn't paint anymore until about 1926.
I wonder why she took a break from painting.
Well, she had to raise us young'uns. And she painted for 73 years.
73 years, goodness. Mm-hmm. What kind of fellow was your father?
Well, he was kind of heavy set and kind of red complected and heavy built. And he'd taken after his mother. Now, my granddaddy Ware was a real small man. And so he was a farmer and a bleeding living at home, raised all his chickens and cows and butchered their own hogs. When anything broke, he'd take them to the blacksmith shop himself. He did it. He didn't believe taking everything to town and have it fixed. And where he had his blacksmith shop is in an old building was Raw's first tailor shop.
That building is now part of it.
And the old building is still standing on the farm, which that we came to this country in 1920.
You remember much about Rawls when you first got here?
Well, it was a little muddy town. It didn't even have a paved street, and you could just imagine walking across that. And it was a live little town, and the First Methodist Church met in the theater. They didn't have a Methodist church in Rawls when we first came to this country. And they built one there on the corner of Watts on that highway. And they've torn that one down and then built the church that now stands. And they had a good theater, and that was everybody's highest life, especially the kids, to go to Rawls on Saturday afternoon and go to the show. And they had two banks. One bank was down there on the corner where the museum and now stands, and the modern bank is up there on the corner north of it, which is run by the McLaughlins.
Well, do you remember some of the people in Rawls, who they were?
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of people in Rawls.
Okay, well, could you describe some of the more prominent ones to me? But first of all, describe them physically, then tell me a little bit about their personalities.
Well, now, the McLaughlins ran the bank, and they were farmers. They lived south of Rawls years ago, and their daddy went into business. And they had three sons, and they all made bankers. But before they moved into town, well, Ed and Marvin McLaughlin had to take the wagon and go out on the prairie and load it up with cow chips to burn for fuel because coal was scarce in this country. And Marvin is still in the bank, but Ed passed away about a year ago.
Okay, are there any other families that you can recall in Rawls?
Well, they all was gone, but the children.
What about the community of Cone?
Well, nearly all of it was gone. Old heads are.
Mm-hmm. Well, who were some of the earlier people here when your family first arrived?
Well, the Littlefields. I think when we first came to this country, I think everybody from Paris, Texas moved to West Texas. It wasn't. They came from Rogers. And I think it was about three families on the train when my daddy and uncle moved to this country. That was the Diggses and the Widemans and the Wheelers. And all the older ones now is passed on, and the children is taken on kind of where they left off.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the community of Cone like when you first arrived here?
Well, it's just one little old store, and that was the post office, and the post office was a dry goods store and a grocery store and where everybody met and swapped yarns. And I think a man named Hammock ran that store, and he lost his leg in the war, and he had a wooden leg.
That was that World War I?
No, Civil War.
Civil War. Goodness.
Okay. Way back there.
He was pretty old then. He was
oh, yeah.
Old fella. What kind of man? What was he like?
I never did remember seeing him. And, of course, it's changed hands, and the old building had moved into Rawls. And I think they tore the old building down. I just don't know what had happened to that building.
And there was an old blacksmith shop there, too?
An old blacksmith shop down on the corner. And back to this old store, it was a dentist living out in the country. So a man had a toothache, and they all gathered together and fixed the little dentist, they said, out on the front porch. So they got this old guy all in the chair and everybody's looking around. The dentist pulled the tooth out so quick nobody knew where it went. And they unloaded the first piano at Cone, and Ruth Bartley was first music pupil to take music lessons.
Mm-hmm. Well, was that quite a social occasion?
Yes.
People gathered around that piano?
Yes, it was. And also the store. And they had recitals in the school later in years, and Ruth Bartley had still used to teach music.
Can you tell me a little bit about the history of this house here?
Well, as far as I know, this house was built about 1914, and Dr. Kegler built this house, and he had two sons. But first, I think Dr. Kegel had more money than he did brains, because this is a huge house and had a large barn here. And he put all the fencing around this farm, which was 299 acres. It had a great big 3 or 4 acres of orchard. He had a hog pasture, finished hog-proof. And they had a chicken house. And all the improvements, I guess, that any farmer would want. So Dr. Kegel stayed here about 3 or 4 years. Then he sold it to some people named Botts, from Botts to Atchison. And my parents bought it from them in 1990, and we moved this country in 1920. The house is still standing. It shows its age, but we tore the barn down a few years back because the storm just wrecked it.
Well,
And the farm is pretty well cleared. In other words, we have all the fences down, no grazing, and have an irrigation well, which I guess modern days changes everything.
Okay, and you remember what kinds of agricultural activity your father was involved with?
Well, usually thing, they raised maize and cotton. And we didn't have the combines to cut this maize. We had to head it by hand. Then throw it down on the ground and let it dry, and then they'd turn it. And then when the heads got dry, they would put it in the granary at the barn. Then later we'd get a thrasher or combine and come to the house and thrash this grain. Or a lot of times they would just sell the whole heads to merchants in Ross, and they would freight it and truck it out. Which that was a big job. And when the combines come on, we just thought we was up in class.
When did the combines get here?
I just don't know how long these combines. You know, just a plain old combine. And everything nowadays is more modern than it did when first came to this country.
Okay. I understand that you went to the celebration after Lubbock got the A&M College.
That's right. I think it was in the summer that we went over there, and I never saw so many people in all of my born days. And one county furnished all the roasting ears, and they had barbecue, and they served all the people, I think, in about 3 hours. And Lubbock was really proud of Tech, which we all are now. And Lubbock has grown. They've come the each side, but the most part of it, it's going west now. And they have all the modern convenience anybody could wish and want to. Good hospitals, good schools, good colleges.
What was Lubbock like back in 1925 or so when you first went there to visit?
Well, Broadway, they had the Methodist Hospital there on the corner in Broadway. And it was just one main street. And we thought about the interesting thing in Lubbock, way up on Broadway, they had a house, people lived it, and they had their car garage under their house, you know, slanted down. Mm-hmm. And my daddy always take up says, now there's where they keep the car under the house. And we just thought that was something because it was a brick house and they just drive the car under the house.
What else do you remember about early day Lubbock?
Well, from Broadway up at Tech, it wasn't very many stores, just a very few dwelling houses.
How far south did the town go?
Well, not too far.
That's where 34th Street is now?
I imagine about 50th Street is. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't very many stores near it. It was all dwelling homes.
Did you go to Crosbyton much?
Oh, yeah. We always go over there and have to pay our taxes over there. And Crosbyton, the county seat, you know, used to be at Emma. Did you know that?
Yeah, do you know the story behind that?
Yeah.
Could you tell me?
Well, now, the first Crosby County Courthouse was up here at Estacada. The Quakers had built that long years ago, and they decided it wasn't exactly in the center. And they voted, and it went to Emma, which is a few miles south of Ross. And they stayed down there a few years, and so they all decided to have a vote, and they moved the courthouse from Emma to Crosby. And Ross wasn't too happy, and Cross was not too happy either.
See, now Ross wasn't built until they built the railroad. So
that's right, back 16 or 17, and John R. Ross was the founder of the town, and he gave people lots to build there in hoping they could get the courthouse, but they didn't.
Now, a lot of those people lived in Emma, but the railroad bypassed Emma.
That's right, and that's one reason they wanted the courthouse away from there, because the railroad came from Lubbock going to Crosbyton. And really, Ross was about a mile west of town. Ross, I mean, where it really is now. So John R. Ross came in here and began to give people lots so they can build, so their railroad would pull into this town and settle this town. And I can remember Ross didn't even have a paved street or no concrete sidewalks. And you can just imagine when it was muddy. Oh, when you go to town, it was the muddiest little town. It's like all of West Texas towns. It was muddy.
Do you remember John Ross? Did you ever see him?
Yes, I saw him.
What kind of fellow was he?
Well, he wasn't just average built, and he was more like a businessman. He didn't, in other words, he didn't fool around. He meant business. Very nice man.
Did you ever see Jillian Bassett?
No.
Okay, what other towns did you go to?
Well, there's Lorenzo and Idaloo and Florida. We did a lot of shopping in Florida. And about all these little towns in this on the plains were just about alike. Until the start of the old settlers. Crosswind has the old settlers once a year, and Lorenzo has had it a few times, but since Crosswind got the memorial building, they usually have it over there.
Okay, as a young lady growing up, can you tell me what sorts of experiences you had? What was school like?
Well, we had a good school. In other words, we went to school, we had to get arithmetic, and we had to learn to spell, or we had to stand behind the door, or we'd get a switch, and that's all it was to it. We first started going to school at Fairview. We had an old coal stove that didn't have any kindling, so one farmer just bought a whole load of old corn stalks to make kindlings to start the fire in the morning. So you'd think our principal would get there early enough and have the fire going and had a real good warm room. And so we had about an hour for lunch, and we all get out and play and run and play basketball.
What was the school year like? When did it start? When did it end?
Well, it usually started in about September. And we first started, they just had five to seven months of school. Mm-hmm. When the district split, well, we started in Cone, and they got sold, they'd have 8 months school. Then when that district divided, they went to Rawls and had 9 months school.
Did you ever work on your father's farm?
Oh, yes, just name it. And I can do anything a man can on the farm, and I still can.
Well, what kinds of chores and activities did you have?
Well, we had cows to milk. We had hogs to feed. And we had eggs to gather up, and we raised our own fryers. And I have to help milk the cows with a bunch of brothers, and I bet I squirted enough milk at one other fold here in New York. We'd get out there and we'd have a milk fight. We're not in a good humor. Well, this cow didn't give so much milk because we squirted on one another.
Well, what other sorts of farming chores did you
have? Well, we had to feed the horses. We had to feed the hogs.
There were a lot of livestock then on the farm?
Oh, yes. We had everybody then had enough mules or horses to do their own farming. That's before tractors ever came to this country. Just imagine going out there and feeding old mules and other stock, hitch them up and go to the field and come in at about 11:30 and feed them, unharness them, harness them up again and go back. Old daily routine.
Mm-hmm. How big a area did your father farm?
We had 299 acres.
Goodness, that's a pretty good size.
Well,
piece of land.
It was back then, in those days.
What kinds of social activities were there?
Well, we always went to church, a Sunday school and church on Sunday morning. A lot of time they have singing in the afternoon. And got to the place, we'd started in this little community. When anybody had a birthday, we'd all take our covered dish and go help this man or this lady celebrate their birthday. So that was all day Sunday affair plus the good feast.
What was the depression like around here?
Well, it was so dry, it would a sprig of grass grow. And you couldn't buy anything, and a lot of the men had to start working here and yonder there to make a living. Now, it was bad, but I'm glad I went through a depression. hard times don't bother me. A few more of them needs to know what it is.
Well, did any of the banks close around here?
Yes, a few of the banks closed.
Which ones?
That one down there on the corner where the museum now stands in Rawls. Mm-hmm.
Did people market their crops much then? Or?
Yeah, they pretty well sold it as they got it out, unless they wanted to keep something back, like feed, you know, to feed their stock. But this way back, this wasn't too much of a cotton country, some way or another. It seemed like it had so much rain that cotton grew so tall it just all went to stalks. But as time came on, got to be a real good cotton country, and it still is. They sold a little wheat for grazing the cows.
Did you ever hear of people like Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah, we read that in the Dallas Morning News. The old Dallas Morning News come, I think, about twice a week. And we read about them in the paper. We just thought that was awful.
Did you ever worry that you might run across them?
Well, I kind of thought a little bit about it because you can't never tell.
When did you hear your first radio?
Really, I don't know. I don't remember.
Ever take an airplane ride?
Yes, sir. That was this past year. I've been saying I want to go up in a plane, and the people that dust up and have these little planes to poison the crops around here, he said he would take me up in one. And I kind of teased with, I says, I'm so heavy, I don't think I want to go up in one of those little planes. So August the 20th, a man from Warwick landed in the airport, and I went over there to take him up on a plane. That's my first time. It was a big plane. And I thought this country was so pretty from the air.
It is.
And we got on at crossing the airport. He more or less went down the canyon, you know, the rock house and circle, and came over, and I saw this house from the air. Cone and Farmer and Pleasant Hill, back to Little Rims and back to Crossland down White River. And to me, that was a sight.
Is that the biggest thrill you've ever had?
That's right. I still won't take another one now.
Do you remember much about the Crossmonton South Plains Railroad?
Not too much. I just kind of remember people talking about it.
But it was something that was in the conversation of folks.
Yes, especially the old one, because of when Rawls was about a mile north of, west of Rawls, see, they had a drayman, you know, had a horse and two horses to a wagon, and this train would stop out there, and then he had to bring all of his dray into town on a wagon.
Dray, what's dray?
It's a wagon that picks up all the packages that the train left there and delivers into the stores.
Okay.
And I had a friend came to this country in 1911, and she said she used to herd sheep back over here, kind of where the old rock house edge of the canyon. Said they had an old buckboard, and said all she can remember, she just had an old poor horse. And up there kind of close to the dashboard, the old horse would kind of trot, and they're afraid they would fall off. They'd take their toes and stick under that little footrest, I guess, and falling off. She and another friend would go over there and herd sheep all day.
You remember any dust storms?
Oh, yes. Back in the Depression in the 30s, we'd have a dust storm every day. One from the west, one from the north, and made a circle. And it was so dry. It came in the house, I'm telling you, like flour. And it got so bad, one Sunday we had company for Sunday dinner that came in from church, and a dust storm came up so bad from the west, it got so dark that we had a light co-op lamp that was for electricity. It was just, and the chickens went to roost. Oh, it just got pitch dark. Such a terrible dust storm came in from the west.
What time of year was this?
Well, now that hasn't been too many years back, but I don't remember right now.
Remember some other dust storms?
Oh, I'm just used to them. I'm just trying to forget them.
Remember any tornadoes?
Too many tornadoes. Oh, it hadn't been too many years, but the tornado just barely got our barn out there. And we thought this house was going to go. But it didn't last very long, so we had to tear the barn down, which the old barn has been there ever since 1915.
Anything else about the history of this house?
Well, it's pretty well the same. It hasn't been changed, but very little on the inside. And this is a large house and tall ceilings and the coolest house in the summer in the country. It's the coolest house in the summer of any house in this country. Mm-hmm. High up off the ground and high ceiling.
Okay, well, any other comments you'd like to make?
Well, I can't think of anything.
All right, well, I appreciate your time.
And that's it for this week. Thank y'all so much for listening, and don't forget to check back again soon for another episode about the people of the plains.
I don't know the answers, but the questions fill my head.